Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World podcast, episode 308, to be exact. Well, as you might know, I'm actually in the hospital, but I got some free time and feeling actually fairly decent today after well over a week of nastiness. But anyway, I got plenty of time on my hands, so I figured that I would put together a show here for you to listen to. Now, I got more details on my situation and stuff coming up later, but a couple of voicemails came in from some listeners that I thought would be of particular interest to you. I'm also going to tell you that I got some SHOT Show information coming up. Thanks to Paul Lathrop from the Polite Society podcast. He is at SHOT Show. He said he's got some footage for me, some audio footage that he is going to send me. So hopefully I'll be able to put some stuff out there. One of these days, I am going to get to SHOT Show. It is my intention to go. In the 5 years I've been doing this show, I've never been. Actually, I've never been to SHOT Show. It just, for some reason, this time in January, rarely ever works out for me. But I think I'm going to go ahead and put it on my calendar for 2016 and make it there because I really want to go to SHOT Show. To all of you who have been there, I hope that you had a great time if you've been there last year or in previous years, and I hope it was well worth your while. Okay, let's take the first voicemail I want you to hear.
Hey, Bob, this is Dave in Utah again. I just listened to your most recent show where you played my voicemail. I just wanted to clarify, it is true that I was rambling a little bit, but I was just laying out my reasoning at the time for why I liked the SIG and why I liked, you know, some of the things that, about the SIG that some people don't like. Looking at it now, if I were to recommend a gun for a new shooter, I would recommend an M&P. I have an M&P Pro. Mine is kind of like the lowest level of the Pro, where basically the only upgrades, I think, are night sights and the Pro trigger. And I think it's just a phenomenal handgun. It's, the grip is small enough when you make, you know, when you use the small back strap that'll fit most people, but you can make it, you know, fit a big hand too. And they're just easy to use, they're simple to learn with, and they're good for lefties because you can switch them around. So, yeah, just thought I'd clarify there and, keep up the good work and hope you get feeling better. All right.
Dave, I'd have to agree with the fact that he recommends M&P 9mm to first gun owners. I would probably put the Glock 19 in there and the Springfield XDM in 9mm in the probably the service pistol size. Any of those three are real good shooters. They're real soft shooters. They're excellent pistols for people to learn how to shoot quickly, accurately, effectively, and it's a gun you can own a long time. They hold their value and things like that. I tell you, the M&P pistols I have three of them, an M&P Shield 9mm, a M&P 9 Compact, and an M&P Pro 9mm, which is my dedicated IDPA gun. They're wonderful shooters. They're great. Boy, I'm so itching to get back out into the range, folks. It's probably going to be another month and a half, closer to 2 months, before I get out there again. But I got to tell you, I'm so much itching to get back out into the range to do some practicing, training, teaching, everything. Just got to get back out there. Like it way too much. Most of you know, I'm not a military or a law enforcement guy or a gunsmith guy. I'm just an everyday dude that 5 years ago started talking about one of my passions. And here it is grown into a nationally and internationally syndicated podcast. People keep listening. I try to keep sending you guys good information. And it seems to work. So I'm just going to keep on talking. Okay, let's get to the main topic of this podcast. Alex from St. Louis called in an interesting voicemail. Now, I did a show on the 1,000-round trigger job, and I've mentioned it many times. And the 1,000-round trigger job is kind of like breaking in your gun, but it's also breaking in the shooter. And it seems to have caught on. I didn't make up the term. I'll tell you what, folks, for the life of me, if I could figure out who originally said that or where I originally saw that on the internet, I would give him or her credit for it. But anyway, it was something that I thought made a lot of sense, and I took it and I ran with it, and it's kind of become a household technique out there, sort of the 1,000-round trigger job. I'll explain a little bit more about it. This is kind of repetitive, but I do have some new stuff I'm going to throw in there, and also an update probably the final update on my 1911 versus Stryker-fired one-year test. Because before I got hospitalized, I decided to do a little bit more shooting of the 1911, and I kind of finished up some things. But anyway, let's listen to Alex in St. Louis. There's an interesting voicemail.
Hey, Bob. My name is Alex. I'm outside of St. Louis, and I've been listening to your podcast for several years now. I really enjoy the show. I like the ideas, and from a perspective of a non-military, non-LEO guy like myself. Regarding your medical situation, you are my thoughts and prayers. And I haven't heard the latest one or two podcasts, and I don't know. I have an update on exactly where you are on that, but you are with my thoughts. So just wanted to call and tell you regarding the 1,000-round trigger job, I have purchased an XDS, a new Springfield Armory XDS in 9mm, the 3.3-inch. I had been carrying a Ruger LC9, the first generation, with the hammer fire, and the trigger just never got better. I did over a 1,000-round trigger job on that, and it was a hammer. There's nothing that could be done. It didn't get smoother. I just didn't like it. So I dumped that. I know the Stryker Fire LC9s are out now, and everybody seems to like those a lot better that have fired both. But I transitioned over to the XDS, and I went out today to put the first 500 rounds through it. Luckily, I'm a reloader and cut down on cost, but I did put 504 rounds through it today, and I'm going to put another 500 rounds through it before I carry it. I also have another XDS at home that my wife will carry, and we are in the process of putting 1,000 rounds through that as well. So I'm a firm believer like you are on practicing with the gun you're going to carry, so I'm not going to fire, obviously, all 1,000 rounds for it. I did get a couple hundred-round start for it, but we'll be enjoying that. I'll keep you up to date on how the trigger feels after 1,000 rounds on each, if any. And just want to let you know I'm in the process of doing 2,000-round trigger jobs. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Alex. Please do keep us updated on your progress on that. Well, 2,000-round trigger jobs. How cool is that? How many of you listening to this have done a 1,000-round trigger job to every gun you carry? I would strongly suggest it. I mean, think about it. 1,000 rounds really isn't that much, folks. You can take a good class like any of the ones that I teach, or Suarez International, or a Mag 40 class, or any of the classes, the good quality trainers out there. You can knock out 500, 600, 700 rounds in a weekend just like that by taking a good training class, which you probably need anyway. But I think it's kind of cool that he's doing 2,000-round trigger jobs on XDS 9mm. Great little gun. You know, I like that. I really like the M&P 9mm shield, but it's a personal preference item. Both of those guns, I've shot them both. Matter of fact, I did a YouTube video on those. If you want to go to my YouTube channel, just search Handgun World on YouTube. You'll find the review I did on M&P 9 shield and the XDS 9mm. Those types of guns are phenomenal. You know, it's making me carry my car PM9 less and less. I got to tell you, the M&P Shield 9mm is making me leave the 9mm car in the safe a lot more. Oh, I got to say something about the 9mm car. I dropped that thing the other day. I was unholstering the gun and dropped it. No, I didn't reach to catch it. Don't ever, ever do that. Train yourself never to reach to catch your pistol if you drop it. Just let it fall. Well, in the process of letting it fall, it fell on the back corner of the slide. No credit to the car PM9. It didn't go off. It shouldn't. It's not supposed to. But it did crack the slide a little bit. I was a little bit disappointed. So I'm going to send it to car and see what they could do. I was real honest with them. It's my fault. I don't think it's going to be covered under warranty. It's probably something I'm going to have to pay for. But actually, I have to say I was a little bit disappointed that dropping it from waist high cracked or chipped off the back corner of the slide a little bit. It is the area behind the extractor. So maybe that area is a little bit weakened compared to the other side. I don't know, but it was kind of strange. A little bit of a disappointment there. Now, I've never dropped any of my Glocks like that or M&Ps. So I don't know what they would do. Never drop my 1911 like that. If any of you have any experience with what happens when you drop a pistol, that might make a good topic for an upcoming show. I'd like to hear about that. Just call into the voicemail, 210-646-1727. Hey, once again, if you want that number, it's 210-646-1727. Or you can go to handgunworld.com. That's handgunworld.com. On the right-hand side, there's also a call me button, and you can leave me a voicemail that way. One more thing I want to talk about before I get more in-depth into the 1,000-round trigger job. If some of you like to get email updates, and if you want to get an email update whenever I make a change to a new show, add a new show, or make a change to the website, you can also sign up for email updates at handgunworld.com. There's an automated system for that. Okay. Now, 1,000-round trigger job, and then I'm going to get into my 1911 striker-fired final analysis. The 1,000-round trigger job I touched on several episodes ago. This is probably the third time that I've dedicated some information to it. Why do I think it's important? Well, I've actually had people challenge me on forums and things that they thought that that was too expensive to fire 1,000 rounds of ammunition through your gun before calling it good and carrying it. Now, you've heard people say that the conventional wisdom is a couple hundred to 250 of your carry ammo. That's fine. Go ahead and do a couple hundred rounds, 250 rounds of carry ammunition. But I say, go get some cheap range ammo, fire 1,000 rounds. But don't just sit there at the square range and plink and fire 1,000 rounds that way. I don't think that's very productive. Take a class or two, make sure that it's a real practice session, or go out to someone's ranch or farm or range with somebody where you can partner up with one or two people and maybe work on a couple things and practice some things and coach each other. I think that's where you get the best value rather than just standing there in front of a square range plinking. Would you agree? But I'll say this. The reason for it is because most trigger parts, handgun, rifle, shotgun, it doesn't matter. They wear in, they smooth out, they get better with 1,000 rounds, even better with a couple thousand rounds. And then that seems to be about as good as you're going to get. Okay? So before you start making modifications to the trigger and things like that, shoot it 1,000 times. But more importantly, it's not just the gun and the gun parts. What about you? Now, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm, you know, pretty much a humble kind of person. But I got to tell you, I think you need 1,000 rounds of practice, don't you? I laugh when I see forum posts. Someone says, well, I went out and I shot my new 1911 150 rounds today. And so now it's flawless and I'm going to go ahead and carry it. Now, I'm not picking on 1911s. It doesn't matter what gun it is, but 150 rounds? Seriously? That's it? You shot 150 rounds and now you're going to carry it and you're going to bet your life on it. Well, first of all, I don't think you've tested the gun enough with 150 rounds. Second of all, I don't think you've tested yourself enough and your ability to respond by just firing 150 rounds. And I'll bet there's a 90% chance that that person went to the square range, ran that target out to 7 to 10 yards, and sat there and shot three boxes of ammo. That's probably what he or she means by 150 rounds. Hey, any gun that's fairly well made should be able to be reliable and serve you well for 150 rounds. What about 1,000, 2,000? That's when you start to see weaknesses show up. That's when you see weaknesses in the gun, the platform, and also weaknesses in the shooter. I still have weaknesses. And I'm going to have a lot of weaknesses after this several-month layoff of not being able to get to the range and shoot. So I'm going to have to redo my 1,000-round trigger job on some of my pistols. Now, my main carry guns would be a Glock 19, my M&P 9mm shield, and my Kar PM9. Okay, all three of those I've given more than a 1,000-round trigger job to. And I would say you pick whatever your carry guns are and do that. If it's just a range gun, you know, if it's just a range toy, you could probably save your time and money and not give it a 1,000-round trigger job. But if it's something you're going to bet your life on, wow, come on. How big of a deal is that? Would you agree? That's a big deal, right? That's a major issue in your life. You better be sure that the gun is ready to perform and that you're ready to perform. So that's all I want to really say on that, is just to go out and do it. Yeah, I mean, that's a little bit of money. How much does 1,000 rounds of 9mm cost, for example? Well, not that much anymore. Ammo prices have come down. Go ahead and take a chance on it. Go ahead and use this opportunity to stock up, first of all, on ammo. Okay, get a couple thousand rounds of ammo, at least, for whatever caliber, whatever gun you're carrying. Get a couple thousand rounds. 1,000 for the 1,000-round trigger job, and then another 1,000 to have in reserve. It's never a bad idea to have 1,000 rounds in reserve, right? No, I'm not a gun wacko. I'm not one of those whack nut jobs that the NSA should be listening in on, even though they might be anyway. I'm not one of those nut jobs and anarchists or whatever, but hey, if you're going to be serious about carrying a gun, a couple thousand rounds isn't that much. You know, I was telling a friend of mine who came over to visit me and had some lunch with me that I was getting a little bit low. I'm going to have to make some ammo buys when I get out of here because, you know, I'm probably down to 4,000 to 5,000 rounds. And to me, that's low. That's low, folks. 4,000 to 5,000. You know, I want to stock up. I'm a big believer that right now, while prices are high, you know, it's the prepper mentality in me. I got a self-reliance prepper mentality. It's why I do another show called Today's Survival Show about prepping and stuff like that. You might want to listen to that. It's just as practical as this one. I like to buy at today's prices. Okay, I did some panic buying when the panic was on. I shouldn't have done that. But now I want to do some buying at today's low prices. Because it's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when we're going to have a spike in prices and a scare like that again. So get stocked up and do your 1,000-round trigger job. All right, a brief intermission, and then I'm going to come back to finish up my 1911 versus striker-fired analysis.
An exciting training opportunity is coming to Sioux Falls on May 16th and 17th, 2015, Beyond Concealed Carry Enhanced. This 16-hour course is designed for the concealed carrier who is slightly more advanced but has never had any formal training outside of the CCW course. We start with the basics of handgun safety and marksmanship and quickly progress to some basic dynamic movement and defensive scenarios. Some scenarios would include shooting from cover and proper use of cover, shooting on the move, shooting steel on the move, defending hallways, one-handed shooting, the art of making hits quickly out of the holster, shooting a hostage taker, and more. You will shoot a minimum of 500 rounds of ammunition. Bring a quality handgun with at least 3 magazines, holster, belt, and magazine pouches. Revolvers and .22 caliber pistols are welcome. Both Bob and Ben are NRA certified pistol instructors and have been for several years. Bob has been the host of the Handgun World podcast for 4 years and has over 120 hours of training under his belt. Ben has several years of Marine combat experience and several years of carrying a gun as an armored car driver. This class will be held in Sioux Falls May 16th and 17th, 2015 from 8:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. both days. Cost is $350 per person or sign up by December 31st and save $50. Look for the training link at handgunworld.com.
An Australian law enforcement officer called their gun registration, quote, an elaborate system of arithmetic with no tangible aim. They also called its crime control use a fallacy. New Zealand police call their gun registration system useless. Canadian registration has cost 1,600% more than originally projected, and a top Canadian cop said it does nothing to take one illegal gun off the street. And in Germany, some people estimate that upwards of 80% of all guns there are still not registered. So why do some senators, and some presidents for that matter, think that it will work in America? Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
All right, before I get into the main topic, earlier I was just mentioning doing a 1,000-round trigger job, and I did something for you folks I want to point out to you. I got on the website freedommunitions.com, which I really like Freedom Munitions, especially for practice ammo. freedommunitions.com. You can probably find deals like this all over the place. But I can order two 500 rounds lots, two 500 round quantities of 9mm FMJ 115 grain practice ammo, remanufactured ammo, for $214. Okay? And I've had pretty good luck with Freedom Munitions. You know, whatever you want to do, get some factory stuff, get some on sale, but, you know, for what? From anywhere from $199 to maybe $220, $230 tops, you can get 1,000 rounds of real good 9mm. That's if you shoot 9mm. You know, if you shoot 45, it's going to be more, or 40 or whatever. But it's really not that expensive. For $214, if you're a 9mm shooter, I got to ask you, isn't that worth it? Isn't that worth it to be able to find out all kinds of cool things about your ability as a shooter and your gun's ability to perform and so on and so forth? So while it's cheap, go ahead and do it. Okay. Now, some of you have been waiting for me to talk about my 1911 versus Striker fired finale test. And it's something I've been working on almost a year now. And what I did is I invested in a couple 1911s, and of course I got a bunch of striker-fired guns, and I've been switching back and forth, training with both, carrying both, and things like that. And, you know, throughout the past year or so, I've given you a few pieces of feedback, and now I'm going to go ahead and give my final analysis. And some people may agree, some may not. Okay, that's okay. It's all right. You're always welcome to disagree with me on this show. I just ask you a question. If you're going to email or voicemail in a disagreement, just have some good backup and a good reason why you disagree, and I'll be open-minded and maybe even put your feedback on the show. But here goes. And by the way, I did give 1,000-round trigger jobs to my 1911s. So, one in particular, one 1911 in particular, that I really like, which I'm going to talk about. Okay. The 1911s that I used for this test was my Sig Sauer RCS 1911 in 45 ACP. Really like the Sig Sauer RCS. It's a CCO format, combat commander officer grip or something like that. It's a commander size slide and barrel, a little over 4 inches, with an officer small short grip. Very well done, very easy gun to carry. As a matter of fact, I'd have to say that my Sig Sauer RCS probably carries better out of all the medium to full-size guns I have. It probably carries better than anything I own. I'm not going to say it carries better than a Shield 9mm or a Kar PM9, because that would be a lie. But it does carry better on me, better than my Glock 19, I'll tell you that. Now, does it mean I'll choose it over my Glock 19? Well, you have to wait for that answer. But the Sig Sauer RCS, a lot of rounds put through that. The other was a Desert Eagle made by Magnum Research, the Desert Eagle. It's also a commander size with a full-length grip. Good gun, by the way. Good gun for the money. Bought that at Sparks Firearms, where Ben Branham works. Okay, and of course, the striker-fired guns were both my Glock 19 and my M&P 9C. I did not give the M&P 9C a 1,000-round trigger job. I have to fess up to that. But I did, of course, I've given my Glock 19s multiple 1,000-round trigger jobs. Okay, my final thoughts. You know, this is an argument that I'm probably foolish to attempt to solve, because it can't be solved. But I made a stupid decision a year ago to jump into it anyway, and it might be of some value to you. You've heard a lot of things discussed about the 1911s as negatives, and you've heard a lot of things discussed as positives. One of the negatives that I think is unfairly talked about is the manual thumb safety. Although I have seen people miss the thumb safety, it only happened once to me in lots and lots of shooting it and firing it. And that is because I just am not good enough at training with it. So I will fess up and admit that that's a training issue, the thumb safety. Thumb safety is a training issue on a 1911, as is probably the grip safety. So I think I can probably throw both of those disadvantages out Might be surprised to hear me say that, but I think I can probably throw both of those disadvantages out of a 1911 as using that as actually your primary carry gun. Here's what I really don't like about the 1911. Now, I'm also going to talk about what I don't like about the Glock 19 also, to be fair. I don't like the capacity of a 1911. The capacity is my big hang-up. 8 or 9 rounds is just not enough for me. If I'm going to only carry 8 or 9 rounds, why not step down to my M&P Shield or my Kar 9mm? Yeah, I know they're not 45s, but if I'm going to carry a gun that weighs as much as a 1911, and that's another disadvantage, is their weight. Weight is everything. I know they're thin, and they carry well, and I'll tell you, my Sig Sauer RCS is balanced tremendously. The capacity is what I got to hang up with. And, you know, I've said this many times. People say, and I've set this up in other podcasts, people say, well, you know, Bob, I carry an extra magazine. So that gives me another 8 rounds. So I got 17 rounds with my 9mm, or with my 1911, excuse me, 17 rounds. I don't agree. I don't agree you have 17 rounds of ammunition to save your life with. Because I think the chances of you reloading to put more ammo in the gun is going to be very slim. Very slim. I think the chances of you reloading that pistol to clear a malfunction is much higher than reloading to add more ammunition. So I would kind of throw that argument out the window. Now, do I have 16 rounds of 9mm on board with my Glock 19 without reloading? Yes. Unless I have a malfunction, of course. But I'm going to get to that. So it's the capacity. For what you get in a 1911, for the weight and the size of most of them, the capacity, in my opinion, is just too small. And, you know, I've seen a lot of people come through classes, and they're just having to do so much more reloading than everybody else. Yeah, it gives them good reloading practice, but, you know, they run out of ammunition way too quickly. Now, you might be saying, well, Bob, you know, don't forget the 3-3-3 rule. 3 seconds, 3 yards. Three shots. Most gunfights end in that anyway. Well, you know, that's debatable, even though there's a lot to be said for that. It's debatable, but why take that chance? If I'm going to go through the process of carrying a gun, if I'm going to go through the serious business, which it is serious business, of carrying a firearm to protect my life, I want to be able to have as much ammunition as I can. When's the last time you ever heard of a gunfight being lost? Being lost because they had too much ammunition. It doesn't happen. And think about this, okay? You know, having that smaller capacity, yes, it makes it a thin single stack gun. But to me, I don't know about you, it's the feeling, it's the comfortable feeling of having the extra capacity of a gun like a Glock 19 or an M&P 9mm or an XDM or whatever. Having that just is more comforting to me. And like I said, if I'm going to step down to 9 rounds, which sometimes I do, I carry my Smith & Wesson M&P Shield with 8 rounds in the magazine and 1 in the chamber for a total of 9 rounds. Now you might say, well, Bob, it's, you know, the 1911s are 45s. Well, most of them are. I mean, you can get 1911s in all calibers now, but the vast majority of them are 45s. Look, I'm not going to get into the caliber debate. To me, it's not enough. Yes, I will go ahead and admit the 45 ACP is probably more powerful than the 9mm. Sure. May even have a little bit more stopping power if you can really say that stopping power exists with a handgun. Some people say it doesn't. However, is it that much more to shrink the round capacity almost in half? No. For me, it's not. So, what's my analysis? Well, my analysis is if you grew up on 1911s, if you grew up shooting 1911s, if that's what you use in the military and you got real proficient with them, or for some reason 1911s, that's what you've been used to and shot all your life and you're willing to train like crazy with them, fine, they're a great carry gun. You'll notice that most law enforcement agencies don't have 1911s. Several reasons. I'm sure the cost has a lot to do with it, the upkeep has a lot to do with it, and the round capacity has a lot to do with it. As a service pistol, 1911s are probably just way too cost prohibitive. As a concealed carry gun for the average guy like me and you or gal listening to this, hey, a 1911 might make sense for you if you are willing to put in the time. If you're a new shooter or you're trying to get a new shooter introduced to concealed carry and the shooting sports and training, I don't think that I would put a 1911 in their hands and encourage them to make that their primary gun. Also, I'll say this. What about home defense? A lot of people, me included, use a handgun as a go-to gun for home defense. Okay? And I've talked about reasons why I do that and I feel that way. Well, wouldn't you rather have something with 15, 16, 17, maybe even 19 rounds of capacity for home defense rather than 8 or 9? Once again, your chances of reloading to put ammo, more ammo in that pistol, I think is very, very slim and not really even worth considering. That's just my opinion. So that's my thoughts. Go ahead if you are willing to train, if you're willing to really marry the platform, if you want to get married to the 1911 platform, then go ahead and carry them. I'm not willing to do that. I'm not gonna abandon my 1911s. I'm still going to use my 1911s and occasionally carry it. But I'm only going to carry my 1911s after I've had a chance to go out and practice and train a lot more with my 1911s. Otherwise, I am going to carry my striker-fired, higher-capacity guns as primary and use those as my primary home defense weapon. But again, if you're willing, like I said, if you're willing to get married and sell out to the 1911 platform, do it. I'm not a big fan of switching back and forth. One of the things that I learned for a year in doing this is not only did I have some issues with the thumb safety. Well, one or two. Maybe a second one, not quite sure, because things were moving fast. But it was the capacity thing. It was the capacity thing I had a hard time. The reloading and the carrying of extra magazines and things like that. That's what I had a hard time with, switching back and forth. In my opinion, if I have a Glock 19 or an M&P 9 compact and one extra magazine, boy, I'm in good shape. And again, I'm in good shape because I have that extra magazine to clear a malfunction if I have to, but I got plenty of rounds in the pistol to start with that makes me feel comfortable about carrying it. So those are my thoughts. You might have some differences. You might have some other opinions. I'm open-minded to that, but those are my final thoughts on the 1911 versus striker-fired experiment that I've done. Now, once again, I'll go ahead and put the invitation out to you. If some of you have more experience switching between platforms, let me know. I would love to hear about it. Okay, well, that pretty much concludes another episode, this 308th episode of the Handgun World podcast. I just want to say a couple things before I sign off. Take a look at the classes that are on my website, handgunworld.com. We're going all over the place in 2015. We're going to Seattle, we're going to Sioux Falls, we're going to Northern Ohio, Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio so far, and maybe more to come. So check that out, and also probably a Suarez International course. I don't know the location yet. I got it narrowed down between two. I'll probably be teaching one of those this summer as well, hopefully. And I'm pretty confident that I'm going to get to feeling better by the time late spring and summer rolls around, that I'll be able to do all this good stuff. That's my goal. I got a good positive attitude about it, and that's the direction I'm headed. So go to handgunworld.com, check out a listing of all the classes, and if you're not sure about taking a class that I'm involved in teaching, hit the button or hit the page called Class Reviews. Check it out. Don't forget about the Shooters Club. Ben's working on some new videos for the Shooters Club. If you want to get some good instructional videos, we have a special website that we have put together for members. It's called Shooters Club Members. www.mnpnine.com, and you can sign up there. It's an exclusive paid site where you can see some of those videos. Last but not least, my Amazon store. A lot of you do this every month, and I appreciate that. I don't run a bunch of commercials on this show, so this show is supported by generous listeners like you. If you're going to buy something on Amazon, go to handgunworld.com, click the Amazon store, and use that link. Then that way I will get a small commission on it, and it'll help support the show. All right, folks, thanks for listening to this 308th episode of the Handgun World podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop, and thanks again for listening. I'll catch you next time. Goodbye. Get it back.